These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, hour two, Felger and Maz, something we wanted to get to from the weekend, but we're precluded from all the Celtics stuff. We'll do it now this hour. Some Patriots stuff this hour. Cassius Marsh. Sorry. Hard time saying the name because the guy sucked so bad, I never took the time to actually pronounce it properly. What a bum this guy was. Now he's about the Patriots atmosphere and culture as well. He told the San Francisco Chronicle over the weekend that he was miscast as a coverage linebacker in New England, and he became so disenchanted with his role and the Patriots culture that he, quote, wanted to get waived when he requested a meeting with head coach Bill Belichick that precipitated his exit. Quote, they asked me to do a bunch of stuff that I had never done, covering running backs and receivers and basically almost never rushing the passer, which is what I did in playing defensive line, Marsh said. They don't have fun there. There's nothing fun about it. There's nothing happy about it. I didn't enjoy any of my time there. You know what I'm saying. It made me, for the first time in my life, think about not playing football because I hated it that much. The story says that the Patriots' decision to surrender two draft picks to get Marsh, which was a fifth and a seventh, I believe, seemed to indicate a promising turn in his career. However, that chapter ended after 9 games, 19 tackles, and just 1 sack. On November 19th, 2 days before he was waived, Marsh played 2 defensive snaps in a win over the Raiders in Mexico City. Quote, I confronted Belichick. Confronted. He says, I confronted Belichick about all the things that were going on. This guy's such a tool, I can't even stand it. I confronted Bill. You asshat, shut up.
Oh yeah, like he's Mike Vrabel.
I was going to try and just read you the quotes before I gave you my opinion, but I can't. This guy is such a tool bag and a bitch, I can't tell you. I confronted Belichick. Oh, you confronted Bill. Great. About all the things that were going on. I won't get into detail, but it was the BS things they were doing. I just wasn't a fan. And so I basically, without asking to get cut, I kind of asked to get cut. I had confidence that I would have an opportunity elsewhere and I would take advantage of it. Okay, your thoughts on that?
So look, I'm not surprised. I mean, again, how many guys do you have to hear this from? So this is a tough place to play. It's not for guys who, you know, want to actually focus on winning football and making sacrifices for the team. The part of the, as soon as I read the beginning of the first comment, they asked me to do stuff I'd never done before. I went, uh-oh. Like, as soon as, heaven forbid, they ask you to do things.
No, right. They asked you to do something that they thought would be better for the team versus better for you.
Exactly.
Like, you jackass.
I want to rush the passer.
What a freaking loser.
I hate this player.
I hate this guy. Oh, I can't stand this guy. What a bitch. Seriously, Cassius, you sound like a total tool, and I'm not, you know, one of these Patriots toadies that just defends everything the Patriot way, but you, sir, are a loser.
He was lost, too. Do you remember? He was lost out there.
You saw it night one against Kansas City.
Oh, was he clueless? He didn't have an idea what was going on.
This is one of these guys that blames everybody else. There's another part of this where he cries about the Seattle coaching. He was with Seattle, too. In Seattle, Marsh enjoyed a family-like culture he thinks has been replicated with the 49ers. Whee! Right. So you get, you know, the soft touch from Pete Carroll. No, he enjoyed the family-like culture. Ugh.
Maz, how would Pete talk up that fun?
Well, you know, we just want to, you know, we'll get the guys together, and, you know, and we'll go to the beach, maybe if we can surf, you know, we'll go bowling, do stuff like that, just family stuff.
In Seattle, Marsh enjoyed the family-like culture he thinks is being replicated with the 49ers, but he didn't carve out a significant role. In 2014, a broken foot ended his rookie season after 5 games. Then he lost his biggest supporter when defensive coordinator Dan Quinn left to become the Falcons head coach and was replaced by Chris Richards. So a new defensive coordinator came in. Quote, I was kind of left with the coach, who it was almost like he was almost fighting to keep me off the field. So now it's the new defensive coordinator's fault.
No, the guy realized he had eyes. He realized the player stinks.
Right, maybe he was trying to keep you off the field because you suck.
I had to really fight and scratch and claw for any opportunities I had. Obviously, we had a very deep defensive line there in Seattle, especially at the defensive end position. It was just I was just constantly being told that I was kind of like a backup type of guy.
Yeah,
you are.
Yeah, we have Cliff and Michael, and you know, we have good depth.
So this is a guy that is always blaming somebody else. It's the coach in Seattle. It's the culture in New England. It's never the fact that you kind of suck. You suck.
He's also a hardcore Magic the Gathering player. I remember that from last year.
Kinda. He kinda sucks.
Cassius Marsh. Nerd. You blow. And he's going to go on about the, you know, I confronted Belichick? Shut up, you scrub. I can't stand guys like this. He is. Dungeons and Dragons? This is the kind of guy. So John Lynch, and I was the GM right in San Francisco. I'm still kind of starstruck by John Lynch. I used to play video games using him, and he was my favorite safety. That's what I know. That's what I know. I'm talking to a child and a loser. I used to play you in the video game. Oh, my God. This guy sucks. But this was all deeper in the article. I did not have to read far to know that this guy blows. This guy blows as a human being.
They asked me to do things I've never done before.
Like, I don't
work.
Know. Work! Do something that might help the team.
Things that are actually relevant. I love that line. As soon as I saw that line, I went, oh, here we go.
Cassius, someone needs to pull you aside and tell you the truth. You suck. You suck. It's not the coach in Seattle. It's not the culture here in New England. It's you. You suck. And my guess is you suck as a dude. Because I didn't need to read far to know how badly this guy sucks. How badly he needs to be taken out back and slapped across the face with a moist sausage, as we like to say on this program. This is one of these guys who is worried about where his dog is going to sit on the airplane. Did you read the lead to the story?
No.
Damp sausage.
This is a guy who worries about where the dog accommodations on the plane. You know these people. Like, and it's gotten out of control now on planes, too. It's not like people are, you know, people are bad enough on airplanes. I got to deal with people on airplanes. But now it's like there's this whole dog thing that's happening.
Right, where are you putting my dog?
Now it's the dog thing. This is one of these tool bags that takes up our time and takes up our oxygen. Worried about where the dog's going to go on the plane. The lead to the story says it's difficult for a dog owner to match the love and loyalty extended by a pet. However, then he ties this into what he's getting from the 49ers. However, Marsh, the father of Boss, an American Bulldog Pit Bull mix, is uniquely devoted.
I have no problem with that. I don't.
The dog seat on the plane?
Yeah, no, that part, I'm with him.
Where I'm going to sit my pit bull?
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Oh, this person's an a-hole.
Oh, well, then I'm an a-hole.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I readily admit that. I like animals more than people. I've said it a million times.
You're worried about where the pit bull's going to sit on the plane?
Yeah, no problem with that.
Oh, you, dude, Murray, you're better than that.
No, I'm not.
I know you're better than that. In 2014, the day he was drafted, Marsh boasted to reporters that Boss...
What's up, Boss?
His American Bulldog and Pit Bull mix was, quote, the cutest dog on the planet. This guy reminds me of somebody, by the way, Murray. In 2014, the day he was drafted, he boasted to reporters that Boss was the cutest dog on the planet. Last year, after he purchased an airline ticket for Boss, Marsh took to social media to express his bewilderment.
Bewilderment.
Per Alaska Airlines, Boss couldn't sit on a seat but had to lie on the floor, .. like a common animal.
Oh, well, that's fine. I just, as long as you don't put him up in the storage. You can't do that.
The overhead.
Who asked him to put him in the storage? He bought a seat for the pit bull. And Alaska Airlines said, no, sir. The seats are for people. The dog goes on the floor... Yes, like a common animal, because you know what? That's what he is. He's a common animal. And the pit bull part? Yeah. Marsh has not been married, but he knows about a four-better or worse relationship. Boss, whom Marsh got as an 8-week-old puppy when he was a sophomore at UCLA, has been steadfast during his owner's tumultuous 3-team, 4-season NFL career. Boss goes with me everywhere, Marsh said. I got traded, he was on the plane. I got cut, he was on the plane. That's my baby. I didn't have to read anymore. The rest of it makes perfect sense. What kind of tool bag? This is so wrong on so many levels. He's upset. He takes to social media, first sign, to complain about the airlines, second sign, because they wouldn't give his pit bull a seat. Oh, you, sir, suck. I can guarantee you this person sucks. Complaint goes to social media to complain the airline wouldn't give his pit bull a seat. Oh, this guy. And it's the culture in New England? Oh, you, sir, are everything that's wrong with airline travel and really the world.
They wanted me to do things I'd never done before. Yeah, like play the pass.
So let's go to Twitter to complain about the airline that doesn't give your pit bull the seat. You've got to be kidding me. This guy sucks. This guy sucks. Oh, does he suck? And it just sort of aggravates. To me, what's aggravating is this guy could not suck any harder than this. Yet, he adds to the narrative of now there's like this culture problem in New England, which is really what I've come here to talk to you about, is I think the whole culture problem in Foxborough has been so overrated, it's not even funny.
Well, you know what the real source of the problem is?
Is that Bill kicked the trainer out of the locker room and now the quarterback is pissed because he thinks Bill's getting in the way of his off-season brand. That's what's wrong in New England.
Yeah, the quarterback's the problem.
Right. It's not a culture problem. I don't think there's a culture problem down there at all. At all. Certainly not because of this dink who couldn't get a seat for his pit bull on Alaska Airlines and tweeted about it. This loser said it's no fun there. That does not denote a culture problem in New England. I don't think there is a culture problem in New England. I think some guys have a hard time with Bill because he's tough. But I think what happened down there is the quarterback got sick of getting his balls busted by the coach and is now AWOL.
Mike, this is all about the quarterback. This whole thing's about the quarterback.
Is there a culture problem down there?
No, it's a quarterback problem. There's a quarterback ego problem. This is what the issue is. So whether it's, what's his name in Philadelphia, Lane Johnson?
Yeah.
Is that whether it's
exactly.
Lane Johnson or Connor Marsh or whoever else that's piping up from the outside, none of them have a leg to stand on ever. If it weren't for the quarterback here who has opened the door for all of it.
No, but Bill's a hard ass. Why was Adalius Thomas saying these kind of things back in 2009? It's not all about Brady.
Right, but Adalius Thomas was a loser.
Yeah, like Cassius Marsh. Like the guy that buys a seat for his pit bull and then complains on Twitter when they don't give him the seat.
I'm telling you, this all goes back to Brady. This is what Brady did. Brady opened the door for all of this. He did. He opened the door for all of it.
They don't have a culture problem. I think that has been vastly overblown, and Maz is right. From Lane Johnson to this dink to even, you know, like Nate Solder had some comments that it's not the easiest. Like, that's always been there. Adalys Thomas, Murray, right? That part's always been there because it is a tough culture. You've got to subjugate yourself to the team. You've got to do what's best for the team, not what's best for you, Cassius. You know, all those things. And so if you suck or are selfish, then you're going to come out of here and say that's no fun. They don't have any fun. That's always been there. What's new is the quarterback jumping ship. That's the problem. It's not because a dink like this comes here and says they're not having any fun there. Did they let your dog into the locker room there, Cassius? This guy sounds a lot like your guy, Murray. His best buddy, Boss. The pit bull mix.
Don't go picking on my dog, Astro.
Don't go defending this, Murray. What? Do you buy seats for your cat, and then when the plane doesn't put the cat in the seat, do you go to social media and then complain about the airline because they wouldn't give your cat a seat?
I don't travel with my cat, but...
Thank you, because you know why?
If I wanted to buy a seat for it, it should have the seat. I have no problem with people that travel with animals. I
God.
Don't.
Oh, it's gotten so stupid. It's gotten so dumb, the pet thing on planes. Oh, my God.
Everything else about the guy blows, though. Stupid magic.
Not everything.
What?
Cassius Marsh?
Yeah.
Oh, what? Because he's a 49er.
All
right, so let's pick this up on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Cassius Marsh. I'm all for ripping the Patriots and poking holes in the Patriot way. Like, I'll do it with the best of them. But you can't do it from his place.
Okay, but so...
You suck. I mean, you sucked? And what? It's no fun because they wanted you to do things that would help the team versus help you personally? And that's why it's no fun? You suck.
Okay, so look, on that part of it, the guy's a loser. Clearly, he's a losing player. There's no two ways about it. But don't just sort of look at it and say, what did they see in this guy?
Oh, now you want to go back and criticize the Patriots for bringing him in the first place, a fifth-round pick? Yeah, what are you thinking?
And a seventh. Two picks for him, don't forget.
I don't care about the seventh, but the fifth I'll put on the table. Say, did you talk to this guy? Maybe something tells me if you spend 90 seconds with this dude, you'd know? Nah. Nope. Not someone we want around. Would just be a guess. As soon as he took to social media to complain about the airline not giving his pit bull a seat, I'd probably say, nah, I'll pass on this guy. Or, you know, feels like he's blaming every coach that won't put him on the field. It's always the coach's fault.
Okay, so again, like, I look at that and say, why did you have to give up two picks to get this guy? What did you see in this guy?
So, fine. Fair enough. I'll play that game.
Did you do your research on that and on this guy? Like, what was the logic there? How did you possibly think this was going to work?
I just think this building narrative of a culture problem or players tuning out the Patriot way or, you know, grinding against the Patriot way or the Patriot way losing its, you know, like there's this whole sort of thing that's building. I think it's been vastly overblown. Vastly overblown. I think basically the quarterback has gotten sick of it.
Right. It's been building with Brady.
It's been building with Brady. And that's the one you need to worry about. Maybe to some extent Nate Solder, but if they had given Nate Solder a competitive financial offer, he'd still be here. So when Nate Solder says it's a tough place and he had some comments sort of alluding to this, I respect Nate Solder and he deserves your attention and, you know, you've got to put some weight to his words, and I do. All that being said, whatever he said, if they had matched the Giants' offer, he's here. It's not even debatable.
See, to me, this amplifies the point of how important it was to have Brady buy in all these years, right? Like, for all the people who said, Brady does this for the team, he takes less, he buys in, all of it. That's important, that's worth something, it's worth more than... Correct! It is! So now that he's not doing it, how are you not upset about that? You should be agitated. Look at what it's doing.
So they're back at it today, passing camp at Gillette. Apparently Brady's not there. Has there been any report just sort of, you know, Murray specifying or, you know, really hammering that in? Brady's there. He's not there.
Yeah, I have not seen that.
Okay.
Just,
we do know that Kobe Bryant was there. So yeah. Great. There's another character. You want to rip on the Patriots for something. You can rip on him for that. Like, that's your character witness there? That's the guy you have addressing the team on what?
Players certainly seem pumped. There's a lot of photos now coming out.
Neat. Great.
Today's
So camp. Kobe Bryant's there. Is Brady? We don't know. Tomorrow it's open to the media again, and Bill's addressing the media again. So here we go. Another day where we have to watch number 58 throw to the first offense, and Bill has to come answer to it.
No, I'm sure Bill will love that, too, that he's asked about Brady being absent again.
That's a legit issue on the team. These ham and eggers complaining about the culture? Please. Sammy in the hot tub. Go ahead, Sammy.
Fellas, Marsh is an absolute loser. Like, what, is he not like football? The Patriot way, I mean, yeah, the Patriot way, this and that, Felger, couldn't agree more. I don't think it's a culture problem. It's a winning culture. It's like, this guy is a mental midget. He can't even handle a little coaching, what, a new position? He can't cover a running back out of the backfield? Dude, just give your best. That's what I'm saying. That's all we're asking for you. And the audacity to go to the best coach on the planet and tell him he's getting a little emotional, he can't handle a little adversity? Who is this guy? I can't believe his statement's getting any relevance to you.
Who is this guy? I confronted Belichick about these things that were going on. What do you mean, these things that were going on? You sitting on the bench because you suck? Is that what you're referring to?
No, he's a real hard ass.
You confronted Bill. Oh, shut up. Seriously. I won't get into detail, but it was BS things they were doing. Like what? Not playing you because you sucked? I am all for legitimate voices with, you know, a legitimate basis for bashing the Patriots, and I'll join them. This guy, Drew in Brockton. Go ahead, Drew.
Hey, what's up, boys? Hey, listen, Cassius Marsh is ridiculously bad at football. He's pretty much the NFL's version of David Price at this point. He wants to put his dog on the actual plane and do, like, and Felger, the pit bull portion of it, is not the issue. The pit bulls are fine. That's your own opinion. Pit bulls, no. You can have a good pit bull. Basically.
Yeah, no, yeah, you but, can. It's great.
Yeah, you can have a good
it's
pit
great.
Bull.
You can take your pit bull and kiss my ass. You can get your own flight. Put your pit bull on the next flight. Thank you very much.
And so what I would tell Drew, too, is look, Price brings it all on himself. That's an insult to Price. To compare David Price to Cassius Marsh, at least Price has had a representative major league career. Beyond that, he's been good.
But it feels
Marsh like... Marsh is a bum.
Same sort of needy crap, though. The story says the 49ers have shown nothing but... I'm going to read this, Maz, and this is... going to shake your confidence in what they're doing there with San Francisco and your guy Garoppolo. The Niners have shown nothing but love for Marsh since claiming him off of waivers. First, they gave him a prominent role in the season's final six games. Next, they signed him. Did you hear the contract?
No.
2 years, $7.7 million.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
You've got to be freaking kidding me. This is a minimum salary, bottom of the roster guy.
He said nice things about John Lynch, though.
2 years, $7.7 million. I don't know how much is guaranteed. We all know those contracts are phony baloney, except for the guaranteed money, but good Lord. 2 at 7.7? Based on what? Finally, says the story, after they did not select a pass rusher in the NFL draft, which was seemingly a pressing need for the Niners with the NFL's sixth fewest sacks last year, head coach Kyle Shanahan cited Marsh's presence on the roster as a reason why they did not draft a pass rusher. Quote, "You've got to be pretty good to beat out Marsh," said Shanahan.
This is the same guy that kept throwing the ball in the Super Bowl, right?
What bucket of crap beat him out here? Whoever it was sucked. I mean, because the Patriots couldn't get to the pass rusher. If it took away the offensive line, they couldn't get to the pass rush. You couldn't get to the quarterback.
Watch this guy have like 14 sacks this year, but keep going.
On his Instagram account, of course, which naturally is filled with pictures of Boss, his pit bull, Marsh responded to Shanahan's quote by saying, "It almost brought me to tears after years of feeling underappreciated." Oh. Oh, this is just so not my kind of dude. I can't even tell you.
Isn't that the word that Brady's wife used, Giselle used?
Yeah, that's a guy that's won something. That's a guy that's done something. And believe me, I'm not happy with that either. But to cop that attitude when you can't get on the field, when you suck, who does this guy think he is?
Oh, this guy's a bum, please. He's a bum.
He did say one thing that I liked, though.
Yeah, me too.
We'll get to that right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shotgun snap, four-man rush. Grapple fires down the middle. Moore Bennett on the money. And on time, touchdown Patriots.
Oh, boy, we got a quarterback here. Big boy throw to Martellus Bennett going up the right seam. He brings Edelman in short motion from the left. Edelman gets the free release, so Jimmy's looking at him all the way. And he's to the left, but he comes back to the right. And that freezes at safety, and he throws a bullet to Martellus Bennett right up that right hash.
That was just for you, Maz.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
A little something for you. Scott Zolak, we got ourselves a quarterback.
See, Zoe thinks so deep down.
So, yeah, right. The truth from Zoe comes out in the moment of the game broadcast, right before he has a chance to manage the message or have it managed for him or anything like that. It just comes out.
Right, the impulse.
He rips players when it needs to be ripped. He calls them as he sees them when it happens. And then after that, from where it goes from there is, you know, but in the game broadcast is when you get the true shot.
Right, until someone can pick up the bat phone and call him. The Zoe phone.
So, Cassius Marsh, as much as he came off as just a total jackass in that story, he did say one thing that was interesting, and I don't know if it was this story or another one, because I didn't read it in the body of the story, but Ben Volen in the Boston Globe had this in his Sunday notes, that Cassius Marsh told the San Francisco Chronicle that he was not surprised by Garoppolo's stellar performance last year when he won all five of his starts. Quote, "I already knew what was going to happen. I called it before anybody," Marsh said. Even this sounds like a know-it-all dink. "I called it before anybody," Marsh said. "I knew because I was with the Patriots and he would shred our defense every day. He'd shred the first team every day. And it looked no different than when Tom was on the field. He's a much better athlete than Tom. He's super disciplined and works hard. I'm very happy to have him as my quarterback." This guy sounds
Did he actually say my quarterback?
Yes. This guy talks like he's a relevant member of the National Football League.
No, right. He talks like he's LeBron.
I'm happy to have him as my quarterback. Oh, this guy sucks. And I'm telling you, Murray, it makes perfect sense that he's a dog guy that complains about not being given a seat for his dog on an airplane. Because those people suck. I'm very happy to have him as my quarterback. But anyway, this thing about seeing him in practice and not being surprised, I take him at his word on this because I've heard other players say this. We had Rob Ninkovich, who's hardly a bomb thrower and hardly someone who's going to like say something like that. We had him on our pregame show on NBC Sports Boston last year, and he said the exact same thing. Said in practice, you know, and I remember because it was in the context of Brady Garoppolo long term, and I think Ninkovich said, "Garoppolo, we've seen him. I've seen this guy. He's really good. He's legit."
I mean, I remember a year ago when Edelman said it. Do you remember? Edelman made a comment about Garoppolo, you know, Jimmy's a stud or something like that. And I remember thinking, ooh, he's carrying Brady's water. He wants to get Garoppolo out of town. And so he's pumping him up so that they can trade him and that'll be the end of it. And you know what? In retrospect, I think Edelman was telling the truth. The kid can play.
So that reminds us, writes Ben Volen, of a Belichick quote from 2016. Jimmy could go out there and run everything that Tom can run, Belichick said. And when we put Jimmy in there, it's really seamless. You can't, unless you were actually looking at the position, if you could just block out that position and say which guy was in there at quarterback, I don't know if you would know a lot of times.
You know, and looking back on that, tell me that didn't go right up Brady's mail chute.
No question.
Like, again, so this is sort of the dynamic that's been at play behind the scenes, too, with Brady and Belichick, the whole Garoppolo thing, which we knew about. But a comment like that, oh, that must have driven Brady crazy. You can't tell the offense is different from him to me? It looks the same? Oh, God, please. It must have driven him bananas.
So, this tying it all together, is this now Brady's revenge? You've been trying to get ready for 4 years. I won. And now I'm going to go to the Grand Prix in Monaco with the Prince of Morocco or whatever. And you got passing camp again this week? Maybe I'll be there. Maybe I won't. So is that what's going on? Is this Brady's revenge?
Oh, I think this is all related. I think Brady's totally sticking it to Bill. And it goes back to me, it's a lot of things over years piling up. But the two trigger points to me, or maybe really three, if you get to it, Deflategate, Garoppolo, Guerrero. And those three things are connected in a lot of ways. But they all piled up to the point where finally when Garoppolo went out the door, that Brady said, fine, Bill, where are you going to go now? Because you don't have a quarterback. So fine, what are you going to do now? Screw you.
Okay.
I'm going to do it my way.
So the Patriots are back at it this week. And Brady, I guess, is not there. The media will be there tomorrow, so we'll know for sure. Maybe we'll send a couple job shadows on another stakeout tomorrow, see which door Brady's going in.
I like it.
So that comes your way tomorrow, but we're reacting to Cassius Marsh because we didn't get to it from over the weekend, and all the Celtics stuff as well. Let's grab Cam and Taunton on a Celtics thought. Go ahead, Cam.
I think it's better for the Celtics if LeBron stays in the East, and here's why. You got to figure out a way to beat this guy. You're becoming to him what the Cavs were to Jordan. He's beaten you five times in a row in the playoffs. And I don't want to hear about the two times you beat him. The two times you beat him, his second best player was the Drunas Ilgauskas. Anytime this guy's had a legit team, he's kicked your ass. All anyone's going to bring up if this team goes, is like, you know, they never really beat LeBron. LeBron is best for this team if he stays in the East and you beat him because you're becoming his bitch.
Okay. Do you want to avoid LeBron or do you want to beat him in the East?
No, I believe in competition making you better. And so I think that the worst thing that can happen to you is that all of a sudden you're a dominant team and you can just coast through the regular season and then, you know, not be fully prepared for what's coming next. So, and when I say fully prepared, eventually you're going to run into a great team in the postseason. And if it's in the finals and you don't have all the tools you need to beat that team, then that's a problem. And I think LeBron helps you. Let's just use Marcus Morris as an example. If you believe everything that's tied into it, isn't he here basically for LeBron? I mean, when you boil away all this stuff.
Well, no, he was there because you had to get rid of Avery Bradley's salary and he was the best option.
Okay, but why Morris and why not someone else?
Something tells me. I mean, look, I think it's the LeBron thing was a side benefit. I think it's the best they could do for that situation they were in.
I just think that at the same time, they look at the landscape.
Wait, would it surprise you at all if Morris is gone next year? He's probably gone.
No, it wouldn't surprise me, no.
All right, so I mean, I just think Morris was the best option given the late issue that they had with the salary cap and Avery Bradley.
But I also think that you have to look at the landscape and know what you have to beat to get to the final. And so up until now, I don't know that the Celtics have ever had a situation where they really could say, we're a move or two away from getting there now. Now they are. And so I think you have to look at who you have to beat and say, how are we going to match up? Which, you know, brings me back to like the whole thing with the big man in the middle and Mo Bamba and all of that. But you're at a stage now where you got to get specific guys for specific matchups.
Dave and Waltham. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, guys. I actually kind of agree with Cassius Marsh. I think that Bill doesn't value pass rushing at all, clearly, because he hasn't let anybody pass rush in like a decade. You know, if he brought back LT, he would probably have him cover tight ends. I think he's actually onto something.
Yes, would he have LT backing, dropping into zone coverage? Maybe. Sort of feels like a separate argument here. Cassius Marsh was talking about they don't have fun there. There's nothing fun about it. There's nothing happy about it. I didn't enjoy any of my time there. It made me, for the first time in my life, think about not playing football because I hated it that much. That's what he's talking about. And he was frustrated that he was used improperly, but he's talking about them not having, they don't have fun there. There's nothing fun about it. There's nothing happy about it. Like, that's what it's about. So these teams and this whole experience is there just for you to be happy and have fun? I thought it was about excelling and being the best you can be and winning. I thought that's what these things were about. That's what you should value, right? And if you're going to have fun doing it, great, but you really prioritize the first thing over the second. Not this bozo, though.
No, this guy's clueless. I mean, really, he's clueless. I'm looking up some of his numbers here. Like, was he highly touted at any point?
Marsh?
Yeah, like
no, never.
So he was a fourth round draft pick. So he's from the middle of the draft. He hasn't had any good years in the NFL. This guy's a big nobody.
I think he had like two running into the kickers last year. It was the only time.
I think I remember those, Murray.
Wherever he's not gotten on the field, he's blamed the coach. In Seattle, he blamed, you know, Dan Quinn left to become coach of the Falcons, so there was a new defensive coordinator. And Marsh says, I kind of felt, I was kind of left with the coach, who it was almost like he was fighting to keep me off the field. So it was the coach was fighting to keep you off the field. Your talent was just bursting at the seams, and you were so ready to contribute, but this coach was fighting to keep you off the field. I really had to fight and scratch and claw for any opportunities I had. Oh, really? That's too bad. You actually had to fight for your opportunities, you tool bag? Oh, just the worst. Just the worst. But you know the fact that what puts it over the edge for me is that he wants to get his pit bullet seat on the plane. Like, that's what, I admit, like, that's what, it just all ties together. So now we've got to sit around and listen to you bitch to stewardesses and the gate. Like, people aren't awful enough in airplanes and at the gate and in that whole, people don't suck enough. Where we now have to deal with the dog people who have to... So I've got to sit here while you raise a stink because they won't give your pit bull a seat. They're making you put the pit bull underneath the seat. And not enough bad things can happen to this guy. Like, that person, you know how much time he's wasted of people's because of his dog?
It's a big thing for you, people wasting your time.
I got to travel with my dog. I got to travel with my pit bull people. Makes perfect sense. That this guy was such a loser makes perfect sense to me.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
These last 2 years have been very challenging for him in so many ways. And I think he just wants, you know, he tells me, I love it so much, and I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
Talk about the Patriots culture, and there's a narrative building that it's gone stale, or players are rebelling against it, it's not going to last, it's not working anymore. And the Cassius Marsh comments have fed into it. When I think there's not an issue there with the culture. There's an issue there with the quarterback. The quarterback is pissed. And the quarterback isn't necessarily pissed about the culture. Like, I'm sure he's getting sick of being called out in meetings and stuff like that, like they all are. But the crux of it is that he thinks Bill has gotten in the way of his training and maybe even as important, his business. And so the quarterback has an issue with the coach. There's not a culture problem down there. If Bill had allowed Guerrero to stay on the team and allowed everything that Brady wanted with Guerrero as it relates to his business, Brady would put up with getting chirped at in meetings. He can handle that. He's handled that for 18 years. Small potatoes. Brady's pissed at the coach for other reasons. There's not a culture problem there. And I would hate to think that Bill's going to sort of lighten up or change things because he feels he has to change his culture there because the players aren't responding anymore. The players who haven't responded suck. You don't need to worry about the Cassius Marshes. Like, I need to tell Bill that. He doesn't need to worry about that. The quarterback's off the reservation. I don't know what you do about that one. That feels like a tough one. But the culture's fine. I would hate to think that they're going to change the culture because guys are chirping.
Well, but the problem is that the quarterback, you know, sort of sets the standard for everybody else. And so once the quarterback is off the reservation... Well, now all of a sudden Gronk decides not to show up. And, you know, and Edelman decides to post his workout with Mr. Miyagi on Instagram.
Huh.
Like, you get all these little other, you know, revolts, if you want to call them that. So to me, this is, to me, it all comes back to Brady. All of it. Brady wants to be a pill now, and so it's creating a problem. But it comes back to the quarterback.
It does. But I still don't think Brady's rebelling against the culture, quote unquote. He's rebelling against the fact that his coach busted his balls about his trainer, doesn't have a new contract, and that they tried to push him out. that the coach drafted his replacement and wanted his replacement. Again, the culture thing about it not being fun, Brady can handle that. Brady is a workhorse. He'll show up and not have fun if it'll make him better and he'll help him win. He can still handle that. He's not rebelling against that. He's rebelling against all these other things. And I just think every time a toolbox like Cassius Marsh complains about the culture and they're not having fun there, people tie it together and like, ooh, there's an issue. No, I don't think there's an issue there. The issue is Brady and Bill. That's the issue. And I know you agree. I mean, like, that is the problem. Here's Matt in Brookline on Cassius Marsh. Go ahead. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, Felger. Look, don't get me wrong. Cassius Marsh is a jackwagon, as far as I'm concerned. You know, you take the C out of Cassius, and that's what you have with that guy.
He's assy. I agree.
I like it. Ashes.
Yeah. You know, get another tattoo about it, you jerk. No offense, Murray. but look, what I'm calling about, I think he's right with the Garoppolo stuff. And my point that I wanted to ask you about is how many other players in that locker room, given how Brady has acted like such a baby now, how many of the other players in that locker room look at Garoppolo and say, I'd rather have that guy? Do you think that's an issue going forward?
I don't, Matt. I think as long as they're winning, the players are very short-sighted. The players aren't thinking about the next 5 years. They're thinking about that season and getting their next contract. And I don't think that's, you know, if Brady turns around and starts looking like Peyton Manning at the end or Dan Marino at the end, he's limping around, you know, then maybe, yeah, some players go, ooh, we actually had the other guy. What, you know, but as long as Brady's playing well, I don't think players second guess it. No, that's not the issue.
Well, and guys like Edelman and Gronk are loyal to Brady.
Right, and exactly. There's a lot of guys who are just...
I mean, their careers were, you know, I don't want to say made by Brady, but they wouldn't have the careers they've had without Brady.
Bingo. What it does say to me, though, is this. And again, I tell you that Rob Ninkovich came on TV with us and said the exact same stuff that Cassius Marsh did about Garoppolo, how good he looked, and reinforcing Bill's previous statements that when Garoppolo's in there, it really doesn't look that much different than when Brady's in there. So a lot of people have said this. It's what fans don't get when they say, and I hear Murray say it all the time, ah, it's been only 7 games, ah, it's been only 4 games, ah, it's a short sample. Bill wasn't going on that. He's not going on the 2.5 games he played for the Patriots and the 5 games he played for the Niners. He's going on what seeing him every day, Murray.
Yeah, it's all the other crap.
It's all the other crap. It's how he shows up to work every day, how he prepares, how he looks on the practice field, how he looks against his starting defense, etc. And those people who are inside, that's what they're going on. They're not going on the, you know, 6.5 quarters or whatever it was that he played.
I mean, look, you covered it. I'm turning back the clock here a minute. But you covered it when Brady replaced Bledsoe.
Yes, and they had the internal rumblings were the same.
Okay, so this is my point. Is that Brady hadn't even played in any regular season games then.
He got, like, I think they gave him 3 snaps on Thanksgiving in Detroit because he was back at Michigan as a rookie. Otherwise, he didn't play. But when you showed up the next year, he was 2 on the depth chart ahead of John Freeze, who was a, was it Heward? It was, you know, it was either John Freeze or Heward. I should know that, in 01. But anyway, there was a veteran who was here who was supposed to be Brady's backup, and Bishop was like, they moved him up.
And it had become apparent in practice that the kid could play.
You bet. I tell the story all the time. I was out there at Wrentham at the side of the practice field, on the back side of the practice field on a drizzly day, next to the equipment shed, and I'm standing there next to a guy who had just recently retired trying to break into the media. I think his name was Scott Zolak. And we're sitting there and we're watching practice. Fat face Felger and Zolak, just out of the league, who still obviously had Patriots ties, and we're sitting there watching a misty practice. No one's there, and he says, "Watch 12. They love this guy. This is the kid. This is the guy. They love 12." It was a practice before the 0-1 season, so they didn't need to see any game stuff. This is what it was with Garoppolo. It wasn't the games.
I mean, to me, that is painfully apparent. Like, every time a fan says that, I say Belichick wanted this guy, saw him, and I don't care what Garoppolo does in San Francisco. If Bill had him here and Bill wanted him, it was going to work.
But it wasn't based on 10.5 quarters.
No.
Always say that.
No, for us, it was based on 10.5 quarters. Like, for me, that Miami game, I'm sorry, the Miami game is the one that sticks out before he popped his shoulder. The first, you know, quarter and a half of that Miami game, how it looked, that was real.
Here's Rocco in Saugus. Hi, Rocco.
Hey, listen, I got a question for you, Mike, but first, I do agree with Marsh. And if you guys remember, there was an interview that Collins, the safety from the Giants, did, and he said when there was rumblings about Belichick leaving to go to the Giants this offseason, and Collins said, listen, we don't really want his coaching style. It doesn't fit with us. And,
so what are you saying, Rocco? So who do you blame Landon Collins, or do you blame the Patriots culture?
Well, I'm just saying, I think Belichick's too old school. I always been saying that. I just think he's too old school of a coach. I just
based on what? Rocco. They've been to 7 straight AFC championship games?
Yeah, that's all Brady, buddy. That's all Brady.
It's all Brady. No.
I hate when you say it because didn't Ty Law say to you in your face, and he say there's no difference between Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick when it comes down to coaching?
He didn't say that. No.
That's
those guys.
Brady. It's all Rocco. Brady. That's what you think, Milwaukee skull. It's all Brady.
Rocco, let me tell you something.
Right,
Rocco, do you know why Ty Law liked Pete Carroll?
So what, because he could do drugs on the
No, not because he got to bring some special something from his cousin's bag. No. Because
he let him do whatever he wants?
Because he paid him. Ty Law got his ass paid by Pete Carroll and Andy Wasenchuk and Bobby Greer. Ty Law made tens of millions of dollars. Of course, I'd like Pete Carroll too if I got that contract. You want to go back and look at that? That contract would stand up today. That Ty Law got in like 99 or 98. I don't remember the year it was. Ty Law went and got his ass paid by Pete Carroll. But Ty Law never said Pete Carroll is better than Belichick. He just said he likes Pete Carroll, and Pete Carroll gets a bum rap. But of course, he sticks up for Pete because Pete paid him. So Landon Collins there, the safety in with the Giants,
Yeah.
Says we don't want Bill here. Is that a statement on Bill or a statement about Landon Collins?
Landon Collins.
Thank you.
Yeah, Landon Collins. I mean, to me, you know, it feels to me, and this is a common thing with pro athletes, but especially in that league, it feels like those guys ultimately really don't care if they win Super Bowls. They just want their contracts. They do a lot of them anyway, maybe not
and
the majority.
You know what? I can't blame them.
No, listen, I get it too. It happens in every sport. There are guys that look at it and say, I can't control the winning part because it's going to take more than me. So I better get what I can get, and I'll take, you know, I got to take care of my family, which I get. I do. I get it. I like to think that you can actually get both. That you might have to take a little bit less to go to a certain place where you can succeed, but you'll be better off there. And the money, you're going to make enough money. I like to think you can get both.
I just don't want to hear about the culture problem in New England. It's a quarterback problem. The quarterback's left the reservation. The quarterback's pissed at the coach and vice versa. And they're back at it again this week at Gillette. Media will be there again tomorrow, Will Brady. And if he's not, take my word for it, people. It's a big deal. Ask anyone who's involved with the NFL, who's been around the NFL, they will tell you, starting quarterbacks, missing passing camps, and this offseason work is a big deal. And if he's not there again today or tomorrow, it continues to be a big deal.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.